scriptures from the Old Testament, from the book of Micah. Micah chapter 5 and verses 2 through to the early part of verse 5. It's on page 779 if you're following in a church Bible. One of the things that's very important to understand about Christmas and about the coming of Christ is that it was something that was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was something that was looked for many centuries, right from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis 3. There's been this anticipation of a coming Saviour. And here in Micah chapter 5, we read of this anticipation. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." Amen. To read together our second reading from the New Testament, this time from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, we're reading from verse 18 to verse 25, and that is on page number 807 in the church Bibles. So Matthew chapter 1, reading from verse 18 through to verse 25. Our focus tonight will be particularly on one verse, and that verse is verse 21. So let's hear and read together in God's Word. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Amen.
If your extended family is anything like mine at the moment, there will be a flurry of emails and texts and phone calls looking for suggestions and ideas for Christmas presents for various members of the family, whether that's parents, brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, all sorts of kind of cryptic things that people might like. Or on the other end, sometimes these suggestions come with a link to the relevant page on Amazon, which is always quite convenient, I find, although it seems a bit cheeky, but eventually I give in. It's easier that way, isn't it? But last Christmas, my wife Julie and I, we got a present from my parents, and it wasn't something that we'd requested or really hinted about. In fact, it was something that I'd never seen or heard of before we got it, and it was one of those presents where, how do I put this? When you opened it, you had to kind of fake a bit of enthusiasm, or at least overdo it slightly, you know. We got this kind of rectangular box, and we unwrapped it, wondering what it was going to be. And when we finally got all the paper off, we looked at it and we said, oh, that is brilliant. It's a cling film dispenser. Just, that's amazing. Thank you. It's probably not what I'd have chosen myself. But let me tell you, 12 months down the line, actually, that cling film dispenser is amazing. It's one of those things that you don't know how you ever lived without. It gets used all the time. You get a perfect kind of square of cling film. It doesn't stick to itself. It's amazing. I checked. It's called a Wrapmaster 1000. For anyone who's still got a little bit of Christmas shopping left to do, I was slightly dubious, but I can highly recommend it. And I think it's often the way with gifts, isn't it? It's the people who know us best, the people who are closest to us, like my parents, who are able to know actually what would be the ideal present for us. They're often the ones that were able to give us those presents that we just think, I don't know how I lived without that, even though we would have never chosen them for ourselves. As we look through the Bible, it's really clear that God knows us better than anyone else. We're told that He created us. We're told that He knits us together in our mother's womb. We're told that as we grow, He continues to know us. He continues to look after us and know everything about us. We're told He knows the number of hairs on our head. Customary to insert a joke here, but I'm just gonna leave that. He knows more about us than we even know ourselves. More about us than anyone else will ever know. He knows us best. And so as we come up to Christmas, it makes us think, what was the gift that God gave us that first Christmas? What was the gift that He knew we needed above everything else? Well, we know, don't we, that He gave us His Son, Jesus. But why? Why was that so important? Why is that so necessary for us? I want to think about that just a little bit this evening as we look forward to Christmas. Why is it so important that Jesus came? Why is that the gift that God gave us? The gift that we needed most of all? I don't know if you have any idea what your name means. Different names have different meanings. I looked up a couple on the internet, and I looked at my name, and apparently Alistair means defender of mankind. And I was quite proud of that one. I'm not sure if we've got any Philips here. Philip means lover of horses, which isn't quite as impressive, but still not bad. We didn't check when we were naming our daughter. We called her Emily. I forgot to check what that meant, but I checked it just this afternoon. Apparently it means striving or hard working. And she can be quite hard work, so that's really fitted quite well, I think. But names have meanings, and nowadays we don't pay massive attention to that. But the meanings of names in the Bible have real significance. Throughout the Bible, people's names aren't just random, but they mean something. And what they mean really tells us something about that person. Sometimes so much so that as a person changes or as a person's kind of task changes, that their names are changed to match that. We see a guy called Jacob, God changes his name to Israel. We see a guy called Simon, who Jesus changes his name to Peter. Names are so significant. Names are linked to that person's role. And it's through the names that we know from the nativity story, even before Jesus is born, we're able to know how important He is. And it's through Jesus' name that even while He's still a tiny baby, we can know what He came to do. And it's because of His name that we can know why God gave us the gift of His Son, Jesus. Why that was the one thing that we needed more than anything else in the world. David read to us earlier a section from Matthew chapter 1, and we're really just going to focus in on this one verse, verse 21. The angel appears to Joseph and says to him, she will bear a son, that's Mary, she will bear a son, and you shall give him, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And that is what the name Jesus means, God saves. And that indeed is what Jesus did. That's who Jesus was, a Savior. And we see that God who created us, who knows everything about us, on that first Christmas, gave us the gift He knew that we needed more than anything else, which was a Savior, Jesus Christ. as we approach Christmas time, especially we're bombarded with all sorts of other things that we think we need, aren't we? Advertising at the moment is in full swing. Children all need the latest toy for my niece. That's anything to do with Frozen. That's the latest Disney film. I think I might get with a bag of peas. That's kind of big news this year. For boys, apparently there's a robotic Tyrannosaurus Rex at the moment, and that's apparently going to be quite a big seller, and I was quite tempted. But for us as adults as well, there are masses of adverts at the moment of things that we need. Huge TVs to watch all the Christmas films on, and there's all the latest gadgets and cling film dispensers and everything like that. All these things that we're told that we have to have for a proper Christmas. And it's not just objects, it's that the house needs to be well decorated. We need to have 15 different vegetables at our Christmas dinner. All these things that actually can make Christmas, rather than the most wonderful time of the year, actually one of the most stressful times of the year for people, as we try and keep up with what is expected for a proper Christmas. We're constantly told at Christmas, this is what you need, this is what you need, this is what you need. And so crazy amounts of time and money are invested. But we all know that soon these things will all go. And that the toys won't last forever, the Christmas decorations will be put back up into the loft. The tree will have dropped so many needles everywhere that we'll have to throw it out. We'll have finished eating turkey sandwiches by sometime in the middle of March somehow. And all these things that seem so vital for the lead up to Christmas will suddenly be put aside for another 12 months. All these things will pass. And while that might seem quite obvious over a kind of a short time span like Christmas, that's not just the case at Christmas. Over our whole lives, the world is trying to tell us the things that we need to be happy, things that we need to be complete, the things that we need to base our life on, and things that we need for success. And what does the world tell us? I'm sure you could think of plenty of things. We're told that if we had financial security, well then that would mean that everything would be okay, everything else would just fall into place. Or we're told that if we just have our health, you know, that's all we need, everything else will be fine if we could just have our health. Or maybe we're told that good relationships are the key. The Bible says that these are all great things, but the Bible says that none of these are what we need most of all. All of these things that the world points us towards are things which are outside of our control, things that could be taken away from us just like that. All of these things, whether it's Christmas things, whether it's lifelong things that the world tells us that we need, all of these things are temporal things, things that won't last forever. And if we're basing our lives on them, then ask the question, well, what happens next? And it's when we think about these things, when we start to recognize that what the world offers is so limited, that actually that's when we start to understand that God who made us, God who knows us, does know best what we need. He does know what is more essential than all of these extras. He knows what we need, and so he gives us the gift of Jesus Christ, a Saviour. He gives us a gift that we can always rely on, a gift that will never change, a gift which will see us through this life and into the next. We see at Christmas that our greatest need is fulfilled by the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, a Saviour. And that is the gift that God gives us at Christmas. But I think that leads on to the question, doesn't it? It's all very well having a Saviour, but then the question is why? What is it that we're saved from? I don't know about you, but I love the Batman films. And Batman is always saving people from various kind of unfortunate-looking and strangely named people like the Joker or Bane or Penguin, which doesn't sound that threatening, but he is quite intimidating if you meet him in a dark alley. But that is Batman, the saviour of Gotham City. And so the question is, well, what kind of saviour is Jesus? What do we need to be saved from? And again, we find the answer in the passage that David read again in verse 21. You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. The Bible says that the greatest gift we need is a Savior to save us from our greatest problem, which is our sin. Our greatest need is a Savior because our greatest problem is our sin, and it's a problem we can do nothing about by ourselves. And again, this picture that the Bible paints is quite different to what the world would tell us. And it's quite different from what the world would like to hear. And the world loves a hero like Batman because they deal with the bad guys who are out there. They keep us, the goodies, safe from these guys, the baddies. But actually the Bible tells us that it's my sin that I need saved from. The Bible tells me that the problem isn't out there, but that the problem is in here. The Bible tells us that our biggest problem is that we have all lived apart from God. We've ignored God. We've ignored what He says. We've thought that we know best. And really, that is what sin is. And the Bible is clear that's what we've all done. We've turned away from God. This isn't just a problem for people in prison or the drug dealers or people that we might be tempted to look down on. Sin is the biggest problem for every single one of us. Sin is the biggest problem for the most morally upright person you can possibly imagine. Because all of us have chosen, instead of following God, to go our own way. And our own way might look very respectable. Our own way might seem to compare well to those around us. But the fact is, our own way will lead us in the wrong direction. Our own way will take us away from God. And God sent us a Savior, Jesus, to turn us around and to bring us back to Him. God knew that our biggest problem, our sin, was something we could do nothing about. And so He sent Jesus to save His people from their sins. To save each one of us from our sins. There's an author, Don Carson, who I think is a brilliant writer. He kind of ties all this together like this. He says that if God had perceived that our greatest need was economic, He would have sent us an economist. If God had perceived that our greatest need was entertainment, He would have sent us a comedian or an artist. If God had perceived that our greatest need was political stability, He would have sent us a politician. If He'd perceived that our greatest need was health, He would have sent us a doctor. But He perceived our greatest need involved our sin, our alienation from Him, our profound rebellion, our death. So He sent us a Savior. And really, that is what Christmas is all about. Our greatest problem being met by the greatest gift. Jesus Christ rescuing us from our sin, from our rebellion, and bringing us back to God. And it's when we recognize that we actually see that here in the Nativity story, this story that we know so well, that we'll hear bits of countless times over the next few weeks, as the baby Jesus is born. This story, that it can be very tempting to kind of sideline as something which is nice for children or just something like that. Well, we see that actually in the Nativity story, the story of Christmas is actually the very heart of what separates Christianity from every other view of the world, from every other way of approaching the world. In this story, we have the very foundation of Christianity. God providing the solution to our greatest problem through the greatest gift, Jesus Christ. And the challenge for us this Christmas, this year, for our whole lives, is will we choose to accept this gift? It takes a real humility to recognize that the problem is not out there, but the problem is in here. It takes a real humility to accept this solution, which is from the outside and not of our own doing. It's a TV series which has just recently finished. It was really critically acclaimed as brilliant television. It's called Breaking Bad, and it's set in America. It's basically about a guy who is seriously ill and he's dying, and his health insurance won't cover the treatment that he needs. And very near the beginning of the series, he's offered all the money that he needs for this treatment. Someone agrees that they will pay everything for him, and he never needs to pay him back. But the man just can't bring himself to accept the offer. His pride will not allow him to accept this free gift. He's determined to earn it himself. He's determined to save himself. And we follow him on through the rest of the series as he tries to do this, and we gradually see his life and the life of his family and friends just gradually fall to pieces as he refuses to humble himself and accept the help that is offered to him. It's a fascinating insight, I think, into human nature, but it's also the challenge to us this Christmas and all year. Will we accept the rescue? Will we accept the salvation which is offered to us, the free gift of God, Jesus Christ, who will save his people from their sins? Jesus Christ, who will save us from our sins if we're prepared to put aside our own efforts and accept what he has done. And he has done it. And that is why Christmas is such a great celebration for Christians. Because as well as all the other things we enjoy, the festivities, the time with family, especially the food, above all of this, we remember that Jesus has done this. God has sent his Savior. He has achieved our salvation. But at Christmas, God gave the greatest gift, his Son, Jesus Christ, and he can be our Savior if we trust in him. And that is the great news of Christmas. That's what I hope we'll remember that Christmas is all about as we're bombarded with it from various angles over the next few weeks. The truth is that our greatest problem has been met by our greatest need through the greatest possible gift, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we can come together this evening, we can look in the Bible and we can see what you've done for us, Lord. And we thank you for what that is, Lord, that you sent Jesus Christ, your Son, to save his people from their sins. Lord, we give you thanks for that, Lord. We pray that you will help us to recognize that we are sinful people. We are people who have decided that actually we know better than you. We are all people who've decided to go our own way. And we're all people who've ended up completely lost. But we thank you that because of Jesus, we can be brought back to you. Because of Jesus, we have a Savior. Lord, we pray that you will help us to recognize the great hope, the eternal hope that that gives us, the certain hope that that gives us. Lord, we pray in the midst of great times that we will have over this Christmas, Lord, fun with family and friends, and Lord, laughter and enjoyment, Lord, we pray that above all this, our greatest joy this Christmas will be by remembering and recognizing what you've done for us. And as we pray that, Lord, we pray also that for those who Christmas will be a hard time, where other people's joy and happiness will stand in stark contrast to their despair and sorrow. Lord, we pray for these people too, that they will recognize that true joy, lasting happiness, eternal security is found only in you and the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.